from stpetecatalyst.com.
Hello, my name is Bill DeYoung. This is the Catalyst Sessions for Tuesday. I'd like to introduce you to someone you know. Bob Devin Jones is a writer, actor, director, producer, the kind of guy who makes things happen. He's an activist.
Chocolate chip cookie maker?
Yeah, yes, there's that. This is Bob Devin Jones. Hi.
Hello, Bill.
You've had quite a few, two months. How long has it been? You've had quite an experience, and we're grateful to see you here. We're grateful to see you upright.
And I'm grateful to be here. I mean, the efficacy of prayer does not, I don't need to be convinced of it. It works. It works for me. If I ever meet Governor Cuomo, I want to thank him for the drugs that initially our governor turned down. Yeah. But the doctor, of the handful of things I recall, one of the doctors says, I could get you that drug from New York. I think I can. And he did. And it kept me out of ICU a second time, turned it around, and I was not the statistic on the other side of the ledger.
Can we start at the beginning?
Yes.
When did you notice something was off?
About a week before I went into hospital, I was extremely no power in my body. And I kept telling that to my partner, and he kept saying, call your doctor. Mm-hmm. I even took a test that Saturday morning on my way home, went to urgent care, took the test. I had not gotten back the results by the time my doctor says, yes, you have it. Come and see me. I saw her that morning. She did a few tests and said, you must go to emergency. And I said, where? She said, here at Palms of Pasadena, where I had excellent care. And I went down there. I stood online in a queue for 4 minutes. They admitted me. And once you go through that door, you could very well be called Alice, like through the looking glass.
That's what I was going to say. You went down the rabbit hole.
Completely. And it all happened so quickly, I don't recall. You're old enough to remember The Twilight Zone.
Of course. That
dee-dee-dee-dee. And, it's the most bizarre thing that's ever happened to me because I didn't realize how sick I was, but I was very sick.
And you were exhausted, is what you said. You were tired. Did you say that your sense of taste had gone, but you didn't feel feverish?
The sense of taste had completely disappeared. Jamie made dinner all that week prior to me going in, and I remember finishing just half of it and then going to bed, which I don't normally do. I normally go to bed around 1 o'clock, sometimes 2. And so I had all the signs, but I hadn't read up on COVID and, you know, something of the invincibility of the 60-year-old. I'm more than 60. And I just thought, this doesn't pertain to me. And it was, you know, you talked about Murphy's Law. Murphy says, I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he did.
Were you feverish at all? I mean, I didn't have the typical symptoms that people describe.
My two symptoms were no taste and low oxygen, which is why I had no power. But I didn't have shortness of breath. I didn't have a cough. I didn't have a fever. I had a fever while I was in hospital. And also another complication, which was AFib, I'm taking medication for a month for that. But no, I didn't have any, you know, I'm used to feeling exhausted. So I thought, but I was drinking a lot of water and thought that might do it, but it didn't. Sometimes you need the pharmaceuticals and the monitor, which I had.
When you went to Palms, did they administer the test there? Did you ever get a test result? Because you said you'd taken it earlier.
I got my doctor, my general practitioner, Karen Monroe, she had called and got my results. So that morning she said, you are positive, get on in here. And then she did a couple of tests, one of which was an oxygen test. And she said, emergency.
So you weren't getting enough oxygen. That's what causes the exhaustion, the feeling of tiredness. Because I've heard that from a couple of other people too.
Yeah, and it's a deep exhaustion, like, I can't move.
Oxygen, wow. But yes. No fever, you weren't...
flushed or respirationally challenged. Nope, just thinking this too will pass, you know, like elections and things. And that was a joke.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It went right over my head, but yes. Been there, done that.
Uh-huh. Yes. So anyway, and it was only after I got back home. See, when Jamie, my partner, collected me at the hospital, I thought I had been gone 2 to 3 days. Mm-hmm. When he said, no, you've been gone 9.5 days, I burst into tears because having never done drugs or alcohol or smoked, I'm generally accountable for every day I've been on the planet for the most part.
Right. Everybody has a few exceptions. Everybody has that.
Yeah, they better. And at 65, if you don't, then that calls into question a whole lot of things. So then I said, all right. And then subsequent to that, people have recounted things that I said while I was in hospital. Also, my phone broke while I was in hospital. Must have dropped it one too many times. So I couldn't dial out. And of course, I wasn't receiving phone calls. I did have to write Jamie's phone number down so I would remember it. And he was so calm that I started to suspect it was a conspiracy. And I told him, I've been abducted off the streets of St. Petersburg. Come and get me.
Let's talk about your journey down the rabbit hole. You know, I had an experience. I may have mentioned this to you once when I was, I'm 61. So when I was a lot younger, I had an experience with delirium in ICU. And I have even after all these years, 40, and so I remember it pretty well. Tell me about your experience. How long were you in ICU and how bad did it get, I guess?
Well, I think delirium is also a coping mechanism so that you don't, I mean, if I thought I had been in there 9.5 days, I know I would have gone crackers. I initially thought that I was at Cedars-Sinai, which is in Los Angeles.
I've heard of that from TV shows, but yeah.
Yeah, I thought I was in West Hollywood. I thought I was overlooking Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. I also very vividly remember an entire program with Kelly Ripa and Ryan Seacrest talking about Christmas. So when I was queried about what date it is, I said sometime in December. Not the right answer.
Wow.
They asked me, who's the president of the United States?
And you couldn't give the straight answer there. They would have thought you were nuts.
Yeah, so and not even who would you prefer or anything like that, just who is it? And I didn't know that a number of times. Yeah. One other doctor said that I talked about the Supremes a lot. Which is everybody knows I love Diana Ross. She's my favorite performer. So I sort of get that. I also thought they had a TV mounted on the wall. And the people in the films, and these were a lot of classic films, would be asked a question. Somebody would be asked, the femme fatale would be asked a question. And then she'd start talking normally and then start talking to us whisper. And then she'd sit down and she'd sit right in the right place. There was some kind of odd apparatus under the TV and it would then bleed into the TV. I know. What were you smoking?
No. This sounds very similar to what happened to me at 19, but you know.
See, and then the biggest
wow
thing was at one point, which turns out to be quite the opposite of what was happening. There was this tribunal. Anyway, it was adjudicated that I was not well-liked in this reality in which I was living in. And then, subsequent to that, I had this sensation of all the sounds leaving the world, and they were diminishing. So all the ambient sounds. Also, I believe that the people on, I had a bed that if I stepped one foot out of it, an alarm would ring. So I had this feeling that the nurses had overtaken the asylum, and they were just handing out meds, giving MRIs. I had a spinal tap, and they would also burn the food, so this acrid smell would come in. Now, none of this happened, but this is what I believed. And so on this diminishing of sounds, it was, you know, just the ambient, beautiful music that you hear. Mm. And then it was just fewer and fewer and fewer, and then one last sound, and then there'd be this way in the distance, a sound. It was the equivalent, I don't know, but my interpretation, which I will work on as something written in the very next future, just when it got to the last sound, barely audible, I'd hear one more. And then one, and then it started to come back the other way. Very faint, a little less faint, a little less faint, a little less faint. I also had a episode where three UCLA medical students did some sort of procedure. And if I saw the color yellow after the procedure, I could go home. And so I saw various colors, and then I saw yellow for about a second, and then nothing, and then stuck yet again.
Didn't you tell the students that you saw yellow? No.
No. Because they didn't exist!
Well...
So
I was there with you.
Yeah, and you were there, and you were there.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, wow.
So I had one of those experiences, which I don't feature. I happened to say in front of my doctor, my general practitioner, Dr. Monroe, I wouldn't go back. And she said, oh, yes, you would, because that got you better. And I realized that. But the isolation, I've been in hospital two other times. Once for cancer, when I turned 50, prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. And then another time when I was had a hernia. You go out of the OR, back to your room, and then you're surrounded by people going, Bobby, wake up, you know, whatever they say.
Yeah.
But with this COVID, you are isolated. And... and you realize you're isolated, or you have moments of realizing that. Yeah. So, but I was so delighted when they said, the doctor says, yeah, I think we're going to discharge you. I was elated. I pulled everything together, got dressed. They rolled me down, they got a wheelchair and then rolled me down this very long hallway at a hospital in which I'm on the board of trustees. And I thought, I don't want them to turn this around and say, oh, we made a mistake or you're not. Because I had such euphoria the next day. I was released Saturday at 3 or 2 or something like that. And then that next Sunday, I could barely walk. Because you do get atrophy if you've been lying down for a week.
Yeah.
But, so I'm still in the blush of realizing the efficacy of prayer Yes. It does work. Elephants know it works. You know, they gather around the least fit among them, or when you have that many people intending on your well-being, everyone from the mayor to friends in Greece and Ireland, and my best friend over in from college, over in Los Angeles, it works, because I could have very easily, certainly here in Florida, been on the ledger that, you know, that 155,000 Americans who've passed.
You had to know that you had lots of friends praying for you and thinking about you. You know, once.
Well, you know, unfortunately, I didn't know that at the time.
Well, you must have inside known it somewhere, because you got a lot of people who love you.
Because Jamie, mm-hmm. who also pulled me through this, was being so calm that I started to get, you know, not get suspicious, but just like, why are you being so calm? I'm going crazy. He walked me through. So how much food do you have left? Well, I have 3 pieces of chicken, some mushrooms, some scattered asparagus. So he said, okay, well now take a piece of chicken. Eat that. Now eat this. Now eat that. Because, you know, you have to not get dehydrated and keep up your strength, because occasionally they would come in and ask me these questions, which initially I got wrong.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, we go, 1966, oops, 78. Oh. I remember one saying, ask me later.
Did you talked about that kind of delirium as a coping mechanism, which I think is fascinating, because isn't it that the stimuli that are hitting your brain, this is how your brain, which is going through something,
yes,
kind of explains them to itself. That's what this means.
And there is a need for explanation.
Yeah.
Simply because those 4 walls, and they happen to have this particular clock, which I thought was a part of the conspiracy. Mm-hmm. It's 1, 12, 1, 2, 3. And on 3, there was like an indentation with numbers. And it was always 3, but it wasn't. But I was always perceiving it as always 3. And I couldn't see the numbers in there. And then there was a board that said what room I was in and who was the attending nurse and this doctor. But they wrote it in such a way I couldn't discern it. And again, it's all part of the conspiracy.
Conspiracy, yeah, of course.
To keep me locked in ICU. And I remember when they were telling me, you're going to ICU. I said, well, what does that stand for? Well, you know, intensive care unit. And I'm thinking, well, I don't need intensive care. You know, it's bizarre in the extreme. But one of my friends, Michelle Roth, dear friend, she's been president of the board of the studio twice. I had it at our 10th anniversary with Lisa Powers, Tracomi. She organized this meal train. So we've been getting gourmet meals for the last 2 weeks and for another week and a half. They deliver it. Most of them have been drive-bys through the window going, hi, Bob.
Throwing the porch, right.
Yeah. But, right. You stay the hell away.
Yeah.
I get it. Jamie said, you know, some people are wary, but I had the COVID. I was hospitalized. I got better. I got discharged. Last week, this time, Tuesday, we went to the Mahaffey to get another test. Mm-hmm. And we got the results back Friday morning, negative.
Yes, great.
I should have buried the lead. We got the negative results back. There's no buildup, there's no drum roll. We got the negative results back. And I have the best science there is out there right at the moment, you know. I had it, I overcame it, you know, Eni, Vidi, Vici, Vici. I came, I saw, I overcame. I'm a Roman. Today, I am a Roman. And
were you aware of where you were, or was it that? I mean, it was an isolation kind of thing, right? So, as you say, so it's not like you're in a ward or the ICU with other beds around.
And so, no, and in fact, I was fortunate to go in when I did, because I was able to get the drug from Governor Cuomo, I had a room. Subsequent people had hallways. I think. I'm not 100% sure of that. But I know when they first sent me to the ICU, I didn't have my own room. Hmm. But I can't say enough about the people who were attending on my welfare. They did a extraordinary job.
At Palms.
At Palms in Pasadena.
Right, right.
But I could not think of the name of the hospital. And they kept saying, "Where are you?" And I knew it was of somebody, but I would say this, and I would say that, and they didn't go like,
Right. Well, that's something I wanted to ask you. I mean, did you in fact know that it was COVID and that?
Oh, I knew I had COVID because my doctor Monroe told me.
All the time, delirium time when you're in there, the 9 days.
No. I in fact, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. After I was there, I didn't even think of COVID, which is why it was 3 to 4 days after I was discharged that I realized I had this beard, which I had never seen before. Mm-hmm. Right. So I've never seen
it. Giveaway. Right.
That I had gray hair. I mean, I knew there was gray hair, but I shave every day, like you.
Yeah.
Or
other day. Every other day.
Well, pretty much. Yeah. That's been the nicest thing. I shower. I don't have to shave. I'm going to keep it for at least another month because, you know.
Why not?
And also, I have no place to be.
Did they let Jamie visit you?
No.
Did you have – nobody could come in? Just the
– I had the nurse whom Jim said I called Diana Ross.
In the whole sort of Dustin Hoffman and Outbreak suit, right?
I mean – no, she had on a nice blue color and a nice kind of Dutch-looking hat. And, nurses –
the Dutch hat with the wings, that whole thing? You know what I mean?
Like the flying nun? No.
Yeah.
No. Because then it would be, I didn't ask for last rites, so get me a more ecumenical, civilian-looking person. Also, they kept saying, "We got to take your blood. Hey, we can't find your vein." I said, "Try this arm. I mean, don't give up." Yeah. And then, they have a nice camaraderie. These medical people. And that was good because I didn't need to. And I think the coping mechanism of delirium is you don't want to be sitting, lying down for 9 days. You'd go crazy.
And also thinking about it in a literal sense.
I didn't think about COVID one time.
Yeah. Did you have pneumonia? That's another thing.
No. Although, do you know COVID is a kind of a pneumonia?
Doesn't surprise me to hear that.
Yeah, he's. Can we say, bitch?
Yeah,
sure he's a bitch.
He is,
and he takes no quarter. Some people get infected, and not show any overt symptoms, and then they get over it. Mm-hmm. Some other people, he just goes, "Gotcha,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
you," and then he goes, and that was me. But I've been through the experience. Hopefully, won't go through it ever again or anything quite like it. And yes, life is precious. It's also fleeting. 66 August 29th is. Mm. a little too early to be checking out.
Yeah, Michael Jackson's birthday, by the way. Same birthday.
You know yes. Yeah. I met him.
Yeah?
Yeah, at Diana Ross's first concert in Los Angeles after she left the Supremes at the Coconut Grove.
Michael was small then.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he stole my date, kept her on the dance floor, and so I came up to him and I said, excuse me. And he said, there's no excuse for you. He might have been 11.
That's a hell of a story, Bob.
Yeah. So I saw Diana Ross in, I was in first year of high school, I think. And my date wore a red mini dress with a chainmail thing over it. And she had long hair. And Michael just was mesmerized.
It's like a bee of honey, man. I tell you, I can, you know. Yeah.
So.
How you feeling? I mean, you feel a little stronger every day? Feeling better every day?
Stronger every day, but it's not like a lateral or a gradual progression like this. You plateau. And then one day, two or three days ago, I felt like myself. I didn't tell Jamie because, and it's good I didn't, because then the next day I...
Down a little.
But for the most part, I'm almost back to, running a marathon, which I didn't do before. So it's not like, okay, good. You caught it.
Science is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. So no, I feel we walk every evening.
Yeah.
6 or 7 blocks. And I walk during the day in the morning. And I'm going to the YMCA next week to get a personal trainer.
Oh, great.
And just take it a day at a time. My doctor kept telling me, you got one job. Get well.
Yeah.
And so I put my board chair has been on board with that. And he was one of my first visitors. And so, and yes, I did feel, certainly after I got home, all this outpouring of affection and good intentions and well-being.
Yeah.
And maybe other mammals do it, like elephants, but we're the only one that, well, send cards in the mail, of course, but I've got about 75 of those. But that thing that humans do is the third leg of the stool that makes you and helps you and allows you to see, as Lady Macbeth would say, beyond this ignorant present. And, you know, your well-being has to be believed to be seen or manifested. And so people were intending on me getting better before I was even dealing with that, because I was in the outer limits. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yeah. Wasn't as cool as the Twilight Zone, but I remember.
No, but he said, we control the vertical. We control the audio.
Sit back.
Sit the hell back. So,
yeah.
And I did, but the community did not. So my thanks and ever thanks for that. And then, one takes this opportunity to go, I'm going to live a better life. I don't know how. Maybe, you know, really embrace country music. I listen to it. Are you laughing?
Okay. Merle Haggard. Check out Merle Haggard. Unbelievable songwriter. Merle Haggard. Okay. Yeah. Country, if you're ever serious about country music, check out Merle Haggard. That's all I'm saying.
Have you ever been in Los Angeles?
Yeah, when I was like 14 or something.
Oh, so you never went to the Universal Amphitheater when it was not covered? It used to be an outdoor.
No. It was early 70s, but no, we didn't get out there. I know that it was there.
Okay, well, it seated about 6,000 people. And a friend took me to see John Denver back in the 70s.
the height of his thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was magnificent.
I'm sure.
That voice was a clear something instrument. Any other questions?
No. Did you know it was raining? I just looked out the window and it's raining.
Where are you located?
We're on First Avenue North and Fifth Street.
Oh, you're downtown?
Yeah. Not well, so far from where you are right now.
Yeah, because I had to come here to get to Wi-Fi, and it's not raining here yet.
Well.
Or ever.
It will be. Bob,
I want to thank you for doing these catalysts because, you know, we have such scant art, creative, innovative related coverage. I mean, there's some, and there's certainly in the Sunday Times, but it's nice to have this as an adjunct. And these have become quite popular and quite sought after.
We're coming up on 100. And you, as I think I mentioned before, you were last year on April the 28th. You were about to do the Uncle Ben's. That's why we were talking that day.
Oh, see?
It's been a while.
It's been a while. April,
so
May,
great.
July. I'm
sorry? What?
No, I'm counting the months. You know, montage.
Yeah.
Have you
an
seen
exercise this they make you do in hospital, right? How many months has it been?
No,
listen.
Last time they asked me who the president was, I was able to say Donald Trump, Donald J. Trump.
Yeah.
Mic drop.
Thank you, brother. I will see you soon.
Okay. Thank you for reaching out.
Stay healthy.
Oh, here comes the rain.
Oh, I told you.
All righty.
Head home now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
From stpcatalyst.com.